My Mac Podcast number 156. This week, playing the part of David Cohen is Chad Perry.
Hello, this is David Cohen.
The next generation of radio, it's the MyMac.com podcast.
And this is the 156th weekly podcast from MyMac.com. I am Tim Robertson, the publisher of the site, and I'm joined in studio by Chad Perry.
Hello.
How are you, Chad?
Fine, thank you.
It's been, geez, what, 5-6 episodes since you've been on last
time? Yeah, pretty close. Yeah, last time I was on was John Farr and Beth Locke.
That was 149?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And also joining us this week is Guy Searle. Hi, Guy.
This is David Cohen. No, it's Guy.
You were just waiting to do that, weren't you?
Yeah, I was. Yeah. I do sometimes.
We have, instead of a phone-in segment, we have Robert Hazelrig. Hi, Robert.
This is David Cohen.
You know, I knew he was going to do that, and it was still funny.
I had to do it.
You know, I'm becoming aware of the fact that I'm probably a really bad influence on the other people that podcast on this show.
Just the people who podcast or people in general?
Well.
Kind of goes without saying, right?
I like to keep my ego in check.
So we are officially in the holiday shopping season. We haven't talked about it before in the podcast. I kind of wanted to go over a few things. If you have Mac loved ones, or you're looking to tell someone what to give you, or you're going to buy something for yourself, say you get a gift certificate to Apple Store or Amazon, or what's the sort of things that you would be looking for? I thought that would be kind of a good topic to cover this week, because let's be honest, a lot of people are probably looking for, you know, goodies
for their friends.
Yeah, or maybe even themselves, stuff they haven't thought about or things that they should be thinking about. And I'll start off with a simple one. And I got an email today from the folks over there that sell the VM Fusionware. And they want to know if I wanted to try out a copy of VM Fusion, which allows you to run Windows, either XP or Visto or any flavor of Linux or Solaris or whatever on your Intel Mac. And I said, sure, send it to me. And they did. And I haven't figured out how to install it yet.
Well, now that still requires a copy of Windows to run, though, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But I do have a copy of Windows Vista Ultimate, and I put the CD in what it asked for, and it doesn't recognize it as a Windows startup disk. So.
Wow. No surprise.
Yeah. Maybe I'll use Windows XP. I've got that too. So.
Or read the instructions.
By downgrading, we mean they're switching to a more familiar platform.
I love that commercial.
No comment.
That's great. So that's one of the things that I'm trying to do right now. Honestly, I probably wouldn't have bought it for myself simply because I don't have a need to run Windows very often. That being said, there are some Windows games that I'd really like to give a try on the Macintosh. You know, why not?
Sure.
You got a smudge on your glasses, Chad. It's bugging me, and I had to tell you it's right.
Oh,
there.
I see that. Yeah, thanks.
You know, I'd be looking at it all night.
That's his left eye.
So, we can get into the Christmas shopping stuff here in a minute. Anything going on in the Mac world as far as news? I mean, I really haven't seen anything that's earth-shattering.
Crickets chirping.
Dead silence. Everybody's quickly going to their favorite Mac news website and seeing if there's anything posted that we could talk about. There's really not. I mean,
it's all kind of the same stuff. You know, some people are having problems with Leopard. Some people are having problems with this. There's a rumor that the next gen iPhone will be 16 gigs of storage and 3G. And, you know, I mean, it's all speculation. You know, we're getting close to Macworld, so, you know, we can probably count on the next couple of weeks for people to say, well, if I was Steve Jobs, I would do this, and come out with something that's completely irrelevant to anything Apple does.
Yeah, like a Macintosh refrigerator.
A Macintosh refrigerator. Talk a little bit more into your mic there, Robert.
I heard a couple people.
Mac and fridge.
Yeah. The wired refrigerator is being talked about on a couple of other podcasts, and it just seems a little silly to me.
I think I heard something, and it wasn't on a podcast. It seems like it was on a news channel, CNN or something, talking about Oprah Winfrey gave away internet-enabled...
Yeah, an LG.
Yeah.
With an HD TV in it, yeah.
Why do you need an HD TV in your refrigerator?
I have no freaking clue.
So you could watch your show as you eat lots of snacks.
Maybe I would just put the refrigerator in the living room at that point. Hey, that's a good way to keep the Xbox 360 cool. Just keep it in the refrigerator.
We do have a TV in my kitchen, and it actually sits on top of the refrigerator, so the kids can't mess with it.
Yeah, they can't turn the channel. I said we're watching news. I don't care if SpongeBob is on.
We want SpongeBob. You're the worst dad in the whole world. Dad, close the freezer door. We can't see the TV.
No, so I think you're right, though, Guy. We're going to hear a lot of predictions over the next 6 weeks about what's going to come out at Macworld Expo. Increasingly, it's looking like I won't be there.
Mm.
Yesterday, actually, was my wife's due date. She still has not given birth. And we're going... I have nothing to do with it. They're going to
induce. Oh, you did it at the beginning, I hope.
Yeah. I hope. We'll see. I didn't know I was Puerto Rican. What the hell?
What? Antennas?
Hey, are you my dad?
Yo, Holmes.
Yeah. So there will be no show next week, at least not with me. I don't know if you are a prepared guy to do one.
Well, I'm always prepared to...
With somebody.
Yeah, I'm always prepared to talk. It's just a question of will anyone actually find it interesting.
So that's something that you could decide whether you want to put together a show next week. You obviously won't be able to post it, but... It won't take much time for me to come home and post that.
No, and
so we could have a show next week.
And I'm still experimenting with Ubercaster. I'm actually recording this right now, but it's okay. It's Palmolive.
Well, last week's show was actually recorded on your end.
Yeah, it was.
At least our segment of it was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Guy just sent that to me as a, was it an MP3 or an M4A file?
I think we originally tried to do it as a AIFF file, and it was too big, yeah. So then we switched it over to an AAC file.
Yeah, and it worked well. I mean, I had to bring that into GarageBand and put, you know, the rest of the show together with it, but it worked out really well. We do have a couple more segments coming up from both John and David Cohen, so we'll get to those at the end of our segment.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else going on that we should cover before we get into Christmas on the Macintosh?
Dun, da, da, dun, dun, da, da, dun, dun, da, da, dun.
Well, I'll go over a few things that's going on up at mymac.com first. Bakari has got a Scott Kelby 7-point system for Adobe CS3 book review.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a pretty good book. He gave it really high marks.
Yep.
Owen Rubin has a Cashmere Blazer Messenger Bag review. And I guess the people who make that was really, really pleased because I got the email that Owen had sent to them and that they replied to.
Yeah, he gave it a really nice review. And, of course, he said one of the dangerous things about the bag is that it is so roomy you tend to overstuff it and, you know.
Yes, think about the cashmeres that had to die to make that.
I'm telling you. Create a media browser using Automator. That's from Bakari.
And that is a great tip, too.
Yep, it's really, really,
really
cool.
Simple to do.
It is, absolutely. And a new writer for us, David Graham, wrote a book review. It's kind of a CD review, I guess you'd say, DVD training.
Mm-hmm.
Rick Salmon's Canon EOS Digital Rebel Personal Training CD. Well, DVD, not CD. Yeah. So that's what we got going on up at the site. Mm-hmm. I'm not answering the phone that's ringing.
That's the new stuff.
I didn't turn off the phone, so we're going to hear it ring a few times.
Yeah.
Isn't that annoying? Do, 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 do. Anyways. Christmas on the Mac. We'll start with Robert Hazelrig.
Sure.
If you're going to give someone a gift, what would be the gift that you would give them?
Well, for the iPod user in your life, I reviewed a product last January, just before Macworld, and it's a product that I really like and still use, and it's the iMain Go speaker system. It's a little pocket-sized, almost pocket-sized speaker that actually doubles as a case as well. It sells for about $50, and wow, and it has cheap. Really good sound. I mean, surprisingly good sound. So it runs on 4 AAA batteries, and it'll accommodate any iPod. I don't know if you could fit an iPhone into it, but
As we're recording the show, and this is going to be hard for you guys to probably remember, but send me an email with the links to the products that you guys are requesting. That way any listeners that, you know, I just heard my iPhone searching for the network. Let me turn that little puppy off. That way we can say, hey, just go to the show notes for 156 and
there it is.
You find a link to all the products that you're talking about. All right, the product that if somebody was going to buy you, what would you hope to
you're
get?
You're speaking to me again. Now for December 25th Christmas or for January 14th Christmas?
Well, since we don't know what's going to come out on January 14th, let's keep it in the realm of possibility.
Actually, I want a new digital camera, and I was hoping to get the new Canon PowerShot. So I'm...
That's a 7 megapixel, 8 7.1. megapixel? Why do you want a new one?
Well, my old Olympus is a 3 megapixel camera. It's 7 years old. Ooh. It still takes a great shot, but I just want something a little slimmer and something I could stick in my pocket because the one camera I have now is a little bit bulky.
I'm using, what is this? Let me reach over and grab it for my little digital camera, a PhotoSmart R727, which is 6.2 megapixel. But the funny thing is I just gave my old digital camera, which is a 5 megapixel, to our two older daughters to play with. Well, not to play with, but to take pictures.
Sure.
They're very happy with it. It's only got an 8 gig card in it, but at the price nowadays, they can buy a little compact flash card of 2 gigs for $50. I mean, it's amazing. And so they're quite happy with that. I don't know if I'm going to buy them anything else. Yeah, you're good. You're good with that, kid. Get out of my face. Okay, so that's the present that you would hope someone would give you. What would be the present, Robert, if you could go out and buy it yourself? Would it still be the camera, or do you think it'd be something else?
If price doesn't matter, I'd just go out and get myself a new tower. I need a new Mac Pro. My G5 is very fast, but I wanna update everything in there and get running on a new Intel machine.
Why a tower? Why not an iMac?
I need the power. I need the space. I want multiple hard drives in my system. I like to have. If I got a new tower, I would definitely put a terabyte in there with at least 3-4 drives in there, so I have redundancy.
Couldn't you do that with external firewall drives?
I could, but it's messy and noisy. And the other thing is, I also run 3 monitors at home, so I don't know if I could do that with the iMac. So,
no, you can run 2. I'm running 2 off my 24.
But I run 3. So,
yeah. What do you need 3 monitors for?
Because I'm a geek.
Because he can.
Let's be honest, one of those monitors you barely look at. You like stick iTunes up there, and it just
actually, my
right.
left monitor is email and internet. My right monitor is iTunes and palettes or panels, depending on what application I'm working in. And my center monitor is generally my workspace for page layout or audio video editing.
What size are they,
Chad?
They're all 19 inch.
Okay.
So, but like if you go from side to side, it's like having a 60 inch widescreen.
Well, yes and no. because the resolution isn't going to be as great. I'm getting a much greater resolution than you are with just 2 monitors, a 24 and a 23. Plus yours probably isn't, widescreen. And the widescreen monitors do make a big difference.
Well, these aren't widescreen monitors. I purposely didn't get widescreen because, when you use the 3 of them together, they automatically become a widescreen. So, it already is pretty wide.
Chad.
Yes.
You're going to give someone a present that's a Mac user. It's Mac related or computer related or even technology related. money is, you know, somewhat of a consideration. You're not going to spend $3,000 to give someone a present, but what are you going to give them?
Well, right now I've got a cousin who's taking computer animation classes at our local community college. Uh-huh. As we both know, most of that's all Mac-based.
Yep.
He, of course, went out and bought himself a PC. So
yeah, go figure.
Yeah. So struggling to get things done other than play World of Warcraft, I would probably get him a Mac Mini.
And he could actually play World of Warcraft on that.
Yes.
I've got a copy he could have.
And he could also get his homework done instead of having to bug me to come over and use my computer all the time.
Yeah, that would be a little annoying after a while, I would imagine. So a Mac Mini is, what, $599?
Yeah.
$699?
Mm-hmm.
Intel, he'd be set for probably the next couple of years easily.
Yeah, absolutely. And he could still install Parallels or whatever else he wanted to do and still play his PC games. Yeah.
And his monitor would work just fine with it, so he wouldn't have to buy a new monitor.
Keyboard should be fine.
Yep, keyboard and mouse should be fine. Mm-hmm. What else does it need? It's probably, well, I think all the Mac Minis now are wireless, correct? I don't know. Mm. Guy? Are all the new Mac Minis wireless?
I believe that's still an option for Bluetooth and AirPort. Hmm. But the high-end Mac Mini comes with it.
Yeah.
I've got a G4 Mac Mini that is wireless that my wife is doing nothing but it's hooked up to an all-in-one Lexmark, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And all she's doing is scanning in pictures for her sister. Just constantly scanning three or four pictures at a time, saving them to a file. Then we'll go into those files and crop out each individual pictures later.
Mm.
But, you know, it's a nice little use for that computer that was collecting dust.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't want her to have to do that on my my Mac because...
It's your Mac.
I want to use my Mac. Okay. The time she sits down and wants to scan in 500 pictures at a time is the time that I'm going to want to sit there and do something myself. So.
Even if you weren't before.
Okay, Exactly. Someone's going to buy you a present, Chad. What are you hoping for?
I think I still want an iPod Touch. And I know you guys talked about this last week in the last podcast.
Yeah.
And I still think I want a Touch.
Well, I think the point that we were trying to make last week was if you already have an iPhone, a Touch is useless.
One? Yeah, it's redundant.
Yeah. And if you don't need a telephone or if you're on a different carrier like you are, mm-hmm. a Touch would probably be fantastic.
Right.
But here's my question, Chad. You listen to your iPod mostly in the car, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Is the Touch really the best choice driving down the road?
Yeah, and I've been wrestling with that too, and I don't know if it is or not. And in which case, I may be set with just one of the new Nanos.
Yeah, that's why probably. I opted not to get the iPhone.
I got the iPhone, and I do use it in the car, but I have a system in the car, the iCarPlay,
right.
mm-hmm. that works with the iPhone. So to switch tracks and stuff, I don't have to even touch the iPhone. I just mm-hmm. plug in either my iPhone or my iPod,
mm-hmm.
throw it in the center console, and you know I'm using the iTouch to do or the iCarPlay to do everything else.
Now, the best thing for me, though, is that since most of my driving is a half hour each way and most of what I listen to in the car are podcasts, which usually run anywhere from a half hour to an hour.
You probably wouldn't have to touch it anyways.
Right.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah, I went through that.
What's the one thing?
Sorry.
No, go
I was going to say, I went through that same thing when my wife bought me an iPod for my birthday a few months ago. And I thought about the Touch. It hadn't come out yet, but I knew it was coming. And I told her, you know, it's more money. It's not as much storage. And where I typically use an iPod is in my car. So I opted for a 80-gig iPod Classic, and I've been very happy with it.
Now, do you have a direct connect, or are you still doing the FM transmission thing?
I went ahead and changed out the stereo in the car because it was the default stereo that came with it over 10 years old, and it was a piece of crap. So
the stock OEM. Junk.
Yeah, yeah. So I went ahead and went to a retailer that doesn't advertise with us, so I won't mention the name, and got a new stereo and made sure that it had an aux in port. So, and then, you know, just bought a 2.5 to 2.5 cable, plugged it into the headphone jack of the iPod, and then directly into the radio.
Sounds great, doesn't it?
It does. Sounds much, much better than over the FM transmitter, which, of course, has to accept whatever interference that is, you know, in the area by FCC regulations.
You would be using an FM transmitter, correct, Chad?
Yeah, I'd still be using the old...
But you've got a newer vehicle that... really is that you don't really want to switch out the radio in that thing.
No, no. We just switched out the radio about 3 years ago, I think.
But that, was that in the truck or?
That was the car.
That was the car, and you don't want to buy another one. Does it have a CD changer control on it? Now, you might look into, I know that there are some options to hook up an iPod controller to a CD changer, so that might be something. And it will sound so much better. But you've been in my car, so you know the difference.
Oh, absolutely. And, I mean, there's huge difference.
For those who think, well, you know, I'm just fine with my FM transmitter, it works great, it really doesn't, not compared to a direct connect.
Yeah.
That just sounds so
much better. The difference between the two is amazing. I was very surprised.
Yeah. Well, it's like listening to an AM station and then a CD. That's the difference.
I just recently had put in a USA spec direct line for my Honda 2 weeks ago, and I love it. Yeah, yeah, it sounds awesome. It's very expensive. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have done it if I hadn't had an issue with the radio already. A couple weeks ago, all of a sudden, all the lights went out on the dashboard, and they had to take apart the dashboard anyway because it was actually something they were expecting to happen. I actually got the warrant the day that the lights went out. I got a warranty extension in the mail from Honda that said this might happen to you, and it happened on that day. So as long as they were taking the dashboard apart and weren't going to charge me to install it, I did have it put in, and it cost $200, but you know, for a cable, which I find absolutely disgusting, but it was worth it.
Now I've got a Pioneer that is one of those Exploder things. I don't know it, and it has the option to plug in an iPod directly to it, not an aux button, not an aux input, but an actual and then you could control the iPod through the car deck. And it costs an extra $100, so I went ahead and did it. And I haven't used it but maybe twice. Because it sucks, really. It sucks.
I had that option when I had the new stereo put in the Ford, and I decided against it because I prefer the iPod controls.
I don't prefer the iPod controls. I prefer the iCarPlay. And I'm telling you, Guy, you would be much happier with it. It will charge your iPod when it's plugged in.
Oh, well, I'm still using the FM transmitter for that.
Oh, so yours is just a big kludge in there then, isn't it?
Of course.
You got plugs coming in the bottom of the iPod, coming out the iPod.
The way I've got it set up, I've got a little pod. plastic thing that plugs into the vents to hold it in place, and it's just about dashboard level. So as I'm driving down the road, if I want to watch the latest episode of like Big Bang Theory or something, I'll just kind of go ahead and switch it over to video. And this is, you know, I keep one eye on the road and one eye on my iPod. And that's totally illegal, by the way.
I'm almost dumbfounded. I don't know what to say at this point.
Big Bang Theory, or was it watching video while I'm driving?
Just a cloud of stupidity just came through my headphones. That's just kind of muffling.
And a long platinum blonde ponytail.
You know, why not just at this point, Guy, and install a little screen that rises up from the hood and project it out onto that? And
I'm looking for that that window display that'll just put it right across the dash. It's okay because I. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I'm surprised nobody's made that yet.
I'm surprised no one's shot Guy as he's driven by yet. okay.
The blinding flash from my bald head throws off their aim every time.
Chad, someone's going to buy you a... No, that was the buy.
Oh, yeah, that was the buy.
You're going to get yourself a present. Are you still going with the iMac, or are you thinking... Maybe it's time to update the computer. I mean, you got a fast computer as it is, but it's not Intel.
Yeah. And I'm starting to think about going pretty much all Intel myself. I'm getting ready to make the leap, I think.
You have a MacBook.
The next one I will. Yeah. I have a MacBook, and I really do enjoy
it. That's 1.83?
Yeah. One of the first ones.
One of the first ones. I think it is the first one. Mm-hmm. And it works great.
Yeah.
But...
Kim still has her G3 900 megahertz.
And she's probably going to be happy with that forever.
She'll be happy with that forever. Yeah.
But your desktop is... How often do you use your desktop computer compared to the MacBook?
You know, it's probably about 50-50 right now with more leaning towards the MacBook.
Yeah. Is it, I know you like video games like I do. Mm-hmm. Not to the extent that I do, obviously.
Right.
But, and you're not going to go out and buy a PS3 or an Xbox 360.
Although my wife does want a Wii, so.
You mean the game system?
Yeah, the game system. Okay.
I was so waiting.
I was going to say you could borrow mine. I'd be happy to.
Yeah, right now your wife probably doesn't want to see yours. So.
No, my wife's 9 months pregnant. She doesn't want to play with the Wii at all.
There's doctors that'll take care of that for you, Chad.
With the Intel. Well,
train of thought. Whew, yeah. Gone.
The MacBook really isn't a gaming machine at all.
No, it's a work machine.
Well, not even that. There's a lot of games that you can't play on that because it's got the integrated graphics chip.
Yeah, it's got to be something fairly older and it's going to be running through Rosetta. So.
Right. So to get you up to date with Mac gaming, what's going on now, you pretty much need a desktop machine.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, is that what you're going to choose then? Or are you looking at anything else, a new printer or a digital camera?
Happy with the camera, happy with the printer. I could probably use an updated hard drive.
Yeah.
I mean, what I've got is the original that came with it, which is the 150 gig, 5400 RPM, and it would be nice to have something that ran a little faster and had more space in it.
In the what?
To the G5.
No, that's a 7200 RPM drive in there.
Really?
Yeah. It sure is. They didn't put anything less than that in a tower.
Mm.
No.
It's probably just getting fragmented at this point.
It is, yeah.
Or you're just so used to it that the speed doesn't seem to be there anymore. No. But I could say the last time I was over your house, it didn't seem slow to me.
Yeah.
You're running Tiger on that, right?
Yes.
Did you upgrade to Leopard yet?
No, I haven't yet.
Okay.
And that's part of why I wouldn't mind having an external hard drive so I can actually have a Time Machine backup solution. So.
That, yeah. So you could probably use either a new Intel machine or, I mean, to put a new hard drive in your machine, you don't even have to replace the one that's in there. You can literally install a new hard drive for $125 and you triple your size.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen them now, geez, internal ATA, mm-hmm. You can get one of those now, like 500 gigs for...
Oh, dirt. I know. It's amazing how much
$179. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing to me how cheaply how cheap they are.
Now, Chad, did you say that was a G5 tower?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
That's a dual 2 gigahertz. Yeah.
Okay, so that only has the two spaces for drives in it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I think the last gen G5 was that able to do 4, or was that just when?
No, that was still 2.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
When they went to Intel, that's when you could put the four drives at the top. I've got a 2.5 gig G5 sitting on the floor right next to Chad and I right now that's sleeping. And it's got two 250 drives in it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing, Chad. You spend $179 isn't a lot, but it's still, almost two bills.
Yeah.
I would say it's almost worth it not to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Not to upgrade that computer to Leopard if you're going to look at getting an Intel machine to replace it anytime soon.
Yeah, which I don't know if I will or not, because when I think about how much usage I actually get out of it, I just don't use it that much right now.
What about a Mac Mini? It's the gaming thing. Because I know you'd like to get some more games.
Because we know what's going to hit next year sometime soon.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
StarCraft 2, and what are the specs going to be for that?
You're going to need an Intel machine.
Oh, yeah.
No question.
I don't think they're going to go back for G5s on that.
No, so. Why would they?
Right.
I wouldn't. And I know for a fact Chad and I are both going to be into StarCraft 2.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Blizzard has sent me every game that they've released since WarCraft 2 for the Mac. They've always sent me a reviewer's copy. So I'm really hoping that I get a copy of StarCraft 2. More than I've wanted any other game to review because, here's the thing. I don't know if you knew this guy and Robert. I had StarCraft, the original, for the Macintosh a year before it came out.
Yeah, I remember seeing it.
And it drove Chad just nuts. And I had posted, this was like 97, 98, and I had posted a first look. And that was that article. I wrote two of them, actually. Those two articles generated more email from Mac users than almost anything else I've ever written. People just literally begging me to make a disc image and or a disc copy and send it to them. Everybody was just dying to play that game, and it was. I still play it occasionally. Mm-hmm. It's still a good game.
Yep.
So I'm really looking forward to StarCraft II.
Does that still play?
And it's going to be released on the Mac. Yes, it does. Blizzard has actually kept it updated. You have to download a new application,
mm-hmm.
and you still have to have the original CD. But yes, Guy, it will play on an Intel Mac.
Wow.
On a PowerPC Mac.
On a MacBook. I put it on my MacBook.
Yeah, it's Blizzard is awesome in that
regard.
They've
been very good about it.
Everybody thinks they're just completely concentrating on World of Warcraft at this point, and they're not.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, there's. I've never seen a television commercial for StarCraft or anything else, and
mm-hmm.
they've got two great new commercials. I don't know if you saw them. One with William Shatner, one with Mr. T for World of Warcraft.
No, I haven't seen them.
Have you guys seen those? Oh, they're brilliant.
You can never go wrong with Mr. T.
This is the best commercial I've ever seen Mr. T do.
Mm.
The best. It's absolutely.
And that's saying something. I'm not sure what.
I'm not quite sure what that. Yeah, it's something.
That's like saying this is the finest performance that Pauly Shore has ever done.
Okay, let's see if I could pull up a video of this. I'll just play it over the speaker so everybody can hear it. But I got to tell you two not to say anything while this is playing. Otherwise, I'm going to pick you guys up to the speakers, okay? So, Robert and Guy, shh. Don't say a word. Mr. T.
I'm Mr. T, and this is my Night Elf Mohawk.
There's no such thing as a night elf mohawk.
Shut up, fool! Like I was saying, my mohawk storms through mighty forests on his frost paper. My mohawk.
T, it's a warrior, not a mohawk.
Well, maybe Mr. T hacked the game and created a mohawk class. Maybe Mr. T is pretty handy with computers. And that occurred to you, Mr. Condescending Director. I'm Mr. T, and I'm a night elf mohawk. What's your game?
World of Warcraft. Try it for free at warcraft.com.
There you go. a night elf mohawk. I love it. Well, maybe Mr. T hacked a game. Maybe Mr. T got computer skills. Just a condescending announcer guy. Brilliant. Just brilliant. How do you not love that? So, yeah, I don't know, Chad. You're kind of in a weird position because you're obviously a Mac gamer.
Yeah.
But you haven't been able to really take advantage of that lately. And there's kind of, it's kind of small still. It's just EA, but there's kind of a Mac game renaissance going on right now.
Well, with Cider, it definitely.
Cider is
allowing developers to bring stuff to market a lot quicker than they used to.
It's almost.
I don't think we're going to see Crysis or anything like that anytime soon.
And honestly, though, Guy, I don't think most Mac users really give two flips about Crysis. Most PC users don't simply
they
because
can't play it.
The hardware required to play that game is astronomical.
Mm-hmm.
I've never understood that mentality. We're going to release a game,
and we're going to put it out on the hairy edge of technology.
Yeah, that nobody is going to be able to play this, or you got to crank down every feature so far that what's the
point? It looks like Pac-Man by the time you're done. Waka waka waka.
I don't get it. I don't get it at all. But there's a plenty of games for the Mac. Right now I've been playing Need for Speed Carbon from EA.
I've got that for the PS2. How is it on the Mac?
It looks fantastic, but there's one major, major problem, and that it's racing a car with your keyboard simply does not work. It's okay for the first couple levels, but then once you get past that and it starts getting pretty competitive, you just can't keep up. And I tried online. There's absolutely no way you could play this game online against PC users using a joystick or a game controller. There's just no way. And I don't have a game controller that works with the Mac yet.
Well,
so that's something that I've been looking into getting simply to play this game.
Isn't there one that's got like the steering wheel and the pedal controls and all that?
Yeah, but I'm not remotely interested in going anything that elaborate. You know, if I have to play a fighter sim where I have to have a helmet and rudder pedals and all that. No. I like gaming. I just...
Use the force, Luke.
Far up. But it is a fun game. So if you have a game controller, it's definitely worth checking out. And, of course, I did the review of Command & Conquer. Tiberian Wars. That's fun. I got to a point where I couldn't beat it, though. It's just, we're kicking my butt too many times, and I was like, ugh, I'm going to go play Uncharted on the PS3.
That'll show you.
And next up for me is going to be either Tiger Woods or Madden 08, one of those two for the Mac. I'd let you have one of these to review, Chad, but you just don't have
the hardware. I don't have it. I don't have the hardware to run it.
So, but yeah, that's the thing, though. I don't know if you should spend any more money on the G5 at this point. Because why?
Yeah, I know. And that's the fight I'll get from my wife, too.
You don't want to get Leopard. See, you can use Leopard on the MacBook, too.
Sure.
And that's $130.
Yeah, but I can't use it. I can't install it on my wife's MacBook.
No, you can't put it on that.
Well, and that's the other thing. If you go ahead and buy a new Mac that already has Leopard pre-installed, you won't be able to install that same copy on almost any other machine that you own.
Yep.
Unless you get a closeout that has a disk install.
True.
Well, usually those are updates, though.
I've been lucky in the past. I've actually gotten two with the full installs.
Now, the 24-inch iMac I got came pre-installed with Tiger and with an update for Leopard. Well, I've got the full retail Leopard that I went and bought on Leopard Night that I installed on the G5. And since I'm not using the G5 anymore, I decided to... No, I installed a fresh copy, completely wiped the hard drive, and started from scratch with the iMac. And I'm happy I did.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're kind of in a predicament. I don't know what you should do, honestly. There's no way your wife's going to allow you to get a new desktop computer anytime soon.
Oh, no.
There's just no way.
Mm-mm. I'm in the same holding stage because I have the same system that you have, Chad. And I'm just going to wait and hope that there's a new tower out after Macworld and then reevaluate whether I'm going to purchase it then or not.
But, you know, there's a big difference. There's a big difference between what you're running, though, Robert, and what Chad is.
Yeah.
Chad's only got one monitor because he's not compensating for anything. So. Although he does have a 23-inch
It's a 23-inch cinema display, though. So.
No, just kidding. So you're kind of in the same boat?
Yeah, I've been wanting to upgrade to a more powerful system, an Intel system, for quite some time. But I'm just going to wait. I was going to get the 8-core when it came out, but I was hoping that was the mid-level machine. Hopefully, I'm hoping that the next rendition of the tower is the mid level is the 8-core. I never buy the top end because it's a little bit overpriced for what I want to spend. I never buy the low end because it's never powerful enough. So I'm waiting for that sweet spot to be an 8-core.
That might be a while.
Yeah.
Here's the flip side of that too: is the longer you wait, the less money you're going to be able to sell the G5 for.
True.
You know, you get rid of the G5 quickly, you're going to get a lot more money, which is going to go directly towards the new computer. Mm-hmm. But the longer you wait, you're going to get diminishing returns. So that's kind of a tricky position to be in.
Right. I know. It's a balancing act.
Guy, someone's going to give you a present. No, you're going to give somebody a present.
Right.
What are you going to give them?
If they were Leopard users, I would be looking at external hard drives to run with Time Machine. If they weren't Leopard users, I would be looking at some of the very, very nicely priced 20 to 22-inch LCD displays from, like, Dell or Samsung.
Which are not really expensive.
No.
I was talking to, I don't remember who, somebody where I contracted.
$300 now.
Well, they came in and asked me what monitor they should get, and they were thinking of a 17-inch widescreen. I said, why would you ever go with a 17-inch at this point? Mm-hmm. And I pulled up Dell's page, and I showed him some of the 20s that were like $179. $279. Mm-hmm. And there's just the difference between a 17 and a 20-inch widescreen is night and day.
Yes, I would agree.
And let's be honest, as Mac guys, all four of us, if I was to go out and buy a new widescreen big monitor, it wouldn't be an Apple monitor.
No.
Anybody disagree with that?
You're really kidding. No, I wouldn't disagree with it. The only thing you're going to get with an Apple monitor that's probably going to be a little bit different is most Apple monitors will come with a few, you know, USB ports or something like that. But you know what?
Not as many as most PC monitors. The Dell monitors all have like four USB, a card reader built in. They've got everything already built in.
Well, and those USB ports aren't the most conveniently located either on the Mac.
No, not at all. I hate it on the iMac. Mm-hmm. I can't stand where all the ports are.
Yeah, I wouldn't go running out buying a Samsung, though, either. I have two sitting right in front of me. And to get two good working Samsungs, I literally replaced both of these two times.
Wow. Wow. I've got a 17 that the G5 is hooked up to right now, and I've never had a problem with it.
And
it's always been a side cart monitor for me, but it works great.
I have a 20-inch that was recently replaced at my office, and a coworker just last week had her monitor go kaput. She had the same monitor that I had in my office as well, the 20-inch. So,
has anybody ever heard of anything bad about the Dell monitors? I've always heard good things.
Mm-hmm. I have not heard anything bad about Dell monitors.
I wrote a blog post just a couple months ago now comparing Apple monitors to Dell monitors and the price. And they're not. Apple is simply not competitive. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, at this point, why?
The display is more of a commodity.
But why is Apple still selling cinema displays that do not have a built-in eyesight? Mm-hmm. Is that just me, or is that the dumbest? Apple has this iChat that they keep, you know, talking about all the time. But if you go with the professional machine, you don't get the eyesight. And they don't even sell the eyesight cameras separately anymore.
They don't sell them at all.
No. So what do? You go out and buy some third-party crappy USB cam?
Yep.
Gee, thanks. If you're going to spend that much money on an Apple monitor, it damn well at least should have a built-in USB cam.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody disagree with that? I think that's just the dumbest thing.
Yeah, no, I think
they need to add something. They need to add something to at least give it some kind of value, because right now Apple's monitors, other than you know, being able to sit there and say, you know, if you're like Al Gore and you've got 3 30-inch there in front of you, you know, hey, woo, I've got an Apple monitor. It's like, okay, I've got a Samsung and I paid about half of what you did.
Right.
Now, I do have a 23-inch cinema display from Apple, the newer ones, the aluminum, but if I actually had to pay for that, I wouldn't have got that one.
Yeah, I had one back when I worked for a different company. I had one of the original flat panels that they had. I think it was 21 inches, maybe?
23?
Maybe 23.
Apple?
It was the larger Apple one with the plastic.
Yeah, 23.
The plastic
frame.
That's
what I've got.
That's what Chad's got.
And I know, I think 2 years, 3 years into it, the color was horrible and the edges were broken. And I was very disappointed.
That's not happening with the one you've got, is it, Chad?
Mm-mm.
Because the one Chad's got is the one that I had for a long, long time.
Mm. Yeah.
And I kept it in really good condition. I cleaned it all the time. Mm-hmm. I blew dust out of it all the time.
Mm.
I made sure, because, you know, I love that monitor. It worked great. Then when I got the aluminum one, I couldn't run two of those at the same time. So I gave the other one to Chad.
Mm-hmm.
Merry Christmas, by the way.
Yeah, thank you.
Of course, I was using Chad's computer quite a bit doing the podcast over there all the time, so a little bit of self-serving there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm sick of this crappy 400-pound 19-inch monitor you have, Chad. We're getting rid of this CRT piece of crap.
I'd like to put mine on my dashboard to watch movies.
Yeah, in my pickup truck with a shotgun in the rear window.
Yeah!
But I haven't seen any difference. It's not as bright as the new one.
No.
But
it still works well.
It works great, and it gets a good picture.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I watching trailers over there after we've recorded the podcast, it looked mm-hmm. brilliant. Okay, guys, someone's going to get you. No, is that the one we already did? No.
No,
someone's going to give you a present.
Something else.
Yeah.
If somebody was going to give me a present and cost was an issue, one of the things I'm looking for right now is I'm still looking for a desk I can be happy with. The one I currently have, I got for a ridiculous price. I blogged about it a long time ago, so I'm not going to go through it again. But it's not what I really wanted. I'm looking
for desks. A desk is something so personal, though. I don't think I would want anybody to give me a desk. Because
I'd have to pick it out.
Well, that kind of defeats the purpose.
But if cost was not an issue, then I would be hoping to get a MacBook Pro.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still using that 933 G4 iBook, and you know I'm running Leopard on it and it runs great, but when I start trying to do video on it and stuff, it's like, okay, it's rendering. I'll be back tomorrow. See ya. Good night. You know, and you know, I just have to wait forever for it to finally finish.
So if you're going to buy something for yourself, what's it going to be?
That would be it. A MacBook Pro.
The desk thing. I've struggled with that myself in the past, but the setup that we have right now, Julie and I got two identical desks at Office Depot, I guess it was. And they're just L desks. Mm-hmm. But they're sitting kind of... The way it looks like it's one huge desk that's, you know, half the room. And it works well. I like it. It's not the most attractive desk in the world, but it's
But that's
it's
a not what
desk.
A desk is always for.
Right. And I'm really not... I don't really like the drawer.
Put some racing stripes on it, and you're all set to go.
You could see what this has done to my chair. Where the desk is, when I slide it out, slowly but surely, it's been hitting the same spot on my chair, and it's just worn it away to crap. Yeah. I need new chairs anyways, but that's probably, and now it's my turn. If I had to give somebody a present, it'd probably be a hard drive at this point, because you can never go wrong with a hard drive.
Mm.
An external USB 2.0 hard drive, because that'll work with a Mac or a PC.
True.
You can't say the same with the FireWire hard drive externals.
Right.
So definitely, say 250, you know, something around, at least 250.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's a Mac person, they probably upgraded to Leopard, and they could use it for a Time Machine.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I just picked up a Western Digital 320 gig MyBook, which is USB 2, FireWire 400, and eSATA for like $170. That's
a good price.
Yep, yeah, I like those books,
when we
too.
Were talking about, and that's an attractive drive too. I kind of like.
Yeah, we use those at work for our backups, and I they're nice to handle. They're nice to look at. So
one of the things that I don't like about the new iMac, and I was going to say this earlier, and I just remembered this. That's why I want to get it in now. Is that I do a lot of video editing.
Yeah.
And for me to plug in my external camera, my Canon. I either have to plug it into an external FireWire hard drive or unplug those hard drives that's plugged into the iMac. Neither one of those solutions I really like. On the G5, it's got an empty 400 plug right in the front. I can just plug it right in there, no problem. Can't do that with the iMac because it's only got one FireWire 400 port.
Mm.
I hate that. That drives me crazy. So, okay, that's what I would give somebody, a nice external FireWire hard drive or a USB 2.0 FireWire hard drive combo, probably. Mm-hmm. As far as what, if someone was going to give me a gift, you know, that's the thing. There's nothing. And I don't mean to sound arrogant or something, but when I need something from my Mac or I want something from my Mac, I get it.
Yeah.
There's really nothing out there that I'm like, man, I hope someone gets me this for my Mac. That's why nobody ever gives me computer stuff, because they're like, oh, I'm not getting them anything computer.
Hey, come to think of it, I always seem to have given you console games.
He gave me Halo 2.
That's right, I did.
There's really nothing out there that, you know, iPod, no. I've got a phone. I've got a couple different iPods. Mm-hmm. I don't need that. And even if someone gave me like a Nano, what am I going to do with a Nano?
Right.
It'd be completely useless to me. Digital camera? No, I don't need a digital camera.
Mm-hmm.
External FireWire or USB hard drives? I've got three sitting up there right now. Mm-hmm. And I've got an empty one that I need to get a hard drive for eventually. But, mm-hmm. I mean, I've got enough storage space right now that that's not a big deal.
Yep.
Plus, I've got the two hard drives in the G5. One of them I could completely erase and use it for whatever I want.
Mm-hmm.
What else is there that I could use? Headphones? I just got a whole bunch of headphones in for review. I don't need headphones. I got all the
speakers.
I've got more. Do you know speakers is something that I get plenty of. I do not need speakers.
You need a new printer, Tim.
Yeah, because the five that are sitting in this room right here. I'm not kidding. Look, Chad.
Yeah, I see it. There's a Lexmark.
There's a big one down here.
Yeah.
Three. And then there's four. And five. There's five just in view.
Yeah.
And three of those are laser printers. Did you see the great big one down here?
Oh, yeah. I've seen the big one down
there. It comes up to my knee from the floor.
Do you have to return those, or are you going to sell any of those to me?
You want a printer? Usually they're returned, but Lexmark tends not to send me the return shipping stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Mm. It's not like they're going to do anything. If I send it back to them, they can't resell it. So
yeah.
They just figure, keep it. We don't care. And they're all
talk after the show.
If you have a color laser printer that you just don't know what to do with, you could send that.
You know, here's the thing. That's, you don't hear printer talk too much on any podcasts or websites too much, you know?
No.
And it's something that everybody seems to always want if they are just getting into computers. I don't print too often, but I do print.
Mm-hmm.
If I didn't have a printer, I would be like, I really need a printer.
I only need a photo printer. My wife wants to print out color photos, and I've burned through so many Epsons. Styluses that I'm just refused to go buy another one.
At this point, my choices would be either an HP, but more than likely it would be a Lexmark laser printer or a inkjet printer. You can get them really dirt cheap, and they have really great quality. I mean, I've got some photos on my wall that people don't even realize were printed from the computer. It was a digital photo that I printed on a Lexmark inkjet printer, and the colors haven't faded. And they've been up there for 4 or 5 years at this point. They look great.
Mm-hmm.
And they're cheap. That's the thing. They're really cheap. And Lexmark's pretty good. They're not the greatest, but they're pretty good about keeping their drives updated. And so is HP. HP's been doing a fairly good job lately as well. But you can't find just a laser printer anymore. It seems like they're all the, you know, fax modem built in, scanner built in. And that's probably a better way to go. But the problem is you don't get the best of anything. Mm-hmm. With the all-in-ones.
Right.
You don't get the best printer. You don't get the best scanner. You don't get the best fax machine.
Mm-hmm.
And if one thing breaks, then you got to replace it.
Or you got a 12-pound card reader. You get another printer just to stick it on top of it. It's kind of like, and I think we've all been there, someone had an old console TV that's made out of wood that weighs 400 pounds, and on top of it's a good TV. You're like, what the heck?
A new 30-inch flatbed.
Well, if you put one on top of the other, can you print in stereo?
Absolutely. Two sides at the same time.
Great.
So, yeah, there's really nothing out there that I'm craving at this point. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wanted an Intel desktop machine, and I got the iMac, and I'm very happy with that. But I'm in no hurry, really, to sell the G5. Because I'm still kind of evaluating the iMac at this point. It's like, yeah, I like it, but is it as reliable long-term as the G5 has been?
Hmm.
And plus, let's be honest, I'm not going to get as much out of the G5 as I would want compared to keeping that as a backup machine in case something else goes wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, that's our Christmas show. Again, I won't be here next week for a podcast. I will be, hopefully, at this time next week, holding my son in my arms and changing his little tiny diapers.
Good luck with that.
Thank you very much, Robert.
Changing diapers isn't that difficult.
Three girls, I've been there. I'm quite familiar with the whole changing of the diaper thing. Actually, I only had to change two of those diapers. Well, anything else we need to cover before we're out of here, guys?
I'd like to mention one thing before I go, and that is a really cool screensaver that you really need to check out. I sent you an email about it a while back. And
Did you? Not as much as my kids. Go ahead and explain it.
It's called Surveillance Saver, and it is a screensaver that randomly picks from about 600 different feeds of security cameras all over the world. And I found myself just watching it all the time.
The reason this works is
it's so strange.
It broadcasts over the internet, so you can watch your surveillance camera anywhere. But people aren't closing the system like they're supposed to. They're leaving them open, and it's an easy search on Google to find out where these cameras are live.
You know what I think is great though is that
all those crazy security people.
What's great though is that my wife never listens to this podcast, Robert, because if she did, that would be on her Mac, on her PowerBook, and she would never speak to me again because she'd be so involved in her latest reality TV or internet program.
There's some weird stuff that shows up on there, like some Croatian webpage that's the configuration screen. Right. You're like, why are you seeing this? sometimes it's black.
Yeah, but then all of a sudden you see some girls swimming in a pool.
I haven't watched that long enough to see that, honestly.
Oh, yeah. There's a couple
I've seen
of
some construction
that,
sites, which I found kind of interesting. But, yeah, it's that's a neat screen. I've got another one for you. Let me – I can't think of the name of it, though, so I'm going to have to –
There's actually a, there's a university in Maine that, it's clearly their Macintosh lab or their media
I've seen that one.
Lab, and you see all these Macs on top of the
I've seen that one.
What's the link? What's the link to get that, Robert?
Oh, I'm gonna have to email it to you because it's very
strange.
Yeah, it
is. SoundStream is the one that I've been using lately, and this is the one I thought you were going to mention, Robert. My kids aren't so much into the surveillance thing. The SoundStream uses the ambient sound in your room. So if it's quiet, you don't see anything. It's basically a black screen with these little dots moving around.
Right.
But anytime you make a sound, you get these big plumes of light. And my kids walk by and go, hey, boo, just to see the lights bloom. They love it. It's really fun. I wonder if anybody has made a screensaver yet that uses your EyeSight camera. And that, you know, as someone walks by, it does something.
That was what I originally thought as soon as I saw this. I was like, how can I add to the feed? I know nobody's going to want to sit there and watch me pick my nose while I work on my computer. But, you know, I thought that would be cool if you could add that feed in that, you know, something of your own up into that surveillance. That would be cool.
Or to be able to watch your own surveillance from a remote location. Although you can kind of do that. If you have Leopard, you can do back to my Mac. And then
I've done that with
when
Skype.
You're there, you know, click the – and whatever is in front of your EyeSight camera, you're going to be able to see, which is, that'd be kind of neat. Let's see. I think that's about it for us. We're going to jump over to, go ahead.
Oh, the iMain Go that I mentioned earlier is for sale for $40 on
$40 bucks, you can't beat that. I've got a lot of products coming up for review. There are going to be video reviews. I'm way behind, and I realize that. And I thank those companies that are sitting here patiently waiting for me to do the review, because that's why they sent me the product.
I enjoy that format much more.
Video?
By the way.
Well, I've got something planned that right now only my wife and Chad know about, and I'll explain to you guys off the air in a minute what this is going to be. It'll crack you up. And I guess that's it for us. We're going to jump over to John Nemirovsky. He's got the Edirol recorder again, and he did some more sound recordings with that. I want to check that out. I haven't listened to it yet myself, and we have the real David Cohen that doesn't sound like this.
This is David Cohen.
No, this is David Cohen.
I'm not even going to try.
So,
thanks for coming on, guys.
See ya.
After the turkey was all carved up and eaten, and all the desserts were cleared, three of us sat down and did some live music, not for recording purposes, not necessarily to test the Edirol RO9 by Roland, but just to have a little fun on a holiday afternoon. What you're about to hear are three live, unedited, spontaneous recordings, short excerpts from each of the three to illustrate how, in an indoor or outdoor setting, Roland's Edirol RO9 recorder, which is a portable digital recorder, can be used to record voice, music, and conversation, and just about everything else. But here we're listening to it recording music. Take it away, Edirol RO9. Happy holidays, everybody.
Thank you. Hello, my name is David Cohen, and I'm the London Bureau Chief for MyMac.com. Welcome to Fenestration, my guide to using a Mac in a Windows world. Welcome to Fenestration 41 for the MyMac podcast number 156. In today's session, I'm going to spend a short period of time talking about some of the benefits that Leopard brings to the Macintosh user in a Windows environment. I've talked briefly about these before, but I've had more chance to use Leopard now, and so I've got an opportunity to really comment on some of the things that I like and some of the things that I don't. As has been well reported, the Finder has been completely rewritten for Leopard. And one thing that I realised once I'd used it for a bit is in fact that Server Message Block Support, or SMB, which is the protocol that Macs use to talk to Windows machines, is in fact enabled by default and is always available in the Leopard Finder. What I mean by this is, if you were to go into the preferences for sharing in OS X 10.4 Tiger, you would find a tick box for Windows sharing, which is off by default, and it's turning this on that allows your Mac to see and share files with Windows machines, by effectively enabling the protocol that allows you to talk to Windows machines. In the Leopard equivalent of the sharing pane, you'll find that this preference isn't there anymore, and that's because straight out of the box, the Finder supports SMB and has it enabled all the time. When you go into the Finder on a Windows network, you'll find that down the left-hand side of the Finder window, where under 10.4 you have the sidebar in Leopard has been completely revised. It now lists devices at the top and places and special search terms at the bottom. But in the middle there's a shared tab, and if you click on that it will show all the shared machines on your network. Now here at home on my Mac network I can instantly see the two Mac machines that are online on my network at any one time. But in the office, when I have my MacBook fired up there, I can see every single Windows machine on our network in that tab. It works very similarly to the way the Windows Network Explorer does under Windows XP. And what this means is it's very easy indeed to actually connect to a Windows machine and actually see the files it's making available on the network. As a little bit of a joke, you'll find that Apple has actually depicted these Windows machines as a little blue monitor with a blue screen on it, and if you actually zoom in the icon, you'll find it's the famous Windows blue screen of death. When you click on this in the sidebar, and you actually see the Windows machine directly over the network, any shares that you have permission to see will be made available straight away to you in the Finder window. More importantly, and this is a real usability benefit over Tiger, it will show at the top of the Finder window what username is being used to connect to the Windows machine, and there'll be a button there that allows you to connect as a different user. This is particularly important on Windows domains, where you probably aren't logged into your Macintosh using your Windows domain name. So what you want to be able to do when you connect to a Windows machine is actually supply that Windows domain name as the credential that you want to access it with. And that will give you access to the maximum number of shares on the Windows server. The new functionality in the Leopard Finder window allows you to do this very easily, and it's a lot more obvious how you do it than it was under Tiger, where sometimes it could be a bit confusing why you couldn't see the shares you were expecting to on a Windows machine. Now, as we all know, Windows servers can sometimes be very slow to respond, particularly on a network. And Windows users who regularly connect to other machines on the network will be aware that sometimes you can get some severe delay while you actually try and formulate a connection. The same used to be true with Tiger. You could often see a spinning beach ball while the Finder waited for a Windows server to wake up and respond to a request. Fortunately, this has been much minimized under Leopard. As I've mentioned previously, the network stack now will actually multitask, so effectively it will provide control back to you on the Finder while it's waiting for information to come back over the network. One thing I've really noticed with Leopard, as I've used it more and more, is in fact it's really quite a strong performer. I was especially pleased with how it performed on my Intel Mac once I did the upgrade on there. It absolutely flies on Intel machines. And certainly if you have an Intel machine running 10.4 Tiger, I would strongly recommend you invest in a copy of Leopard as soon as you feel your software and systems will support it. You really will enjoy the very snappy extra performance that Leopard gives you. One final thing to note about Intel machines. You may recall that previously on Fenestration I've talked about the upcoming ability in Leopard to rapidly switch between bootcamp Windows partitions and OS X. The idea was that when you wanted to switch from one operating system to the other, bootcamp would allow you to save the memory contents to a file on your hard drive and then immediately switch over to the other environment and load the corresponding memory file back, so you could actually switch very quickly between one and the other without actually having to reboot. Somewhere along the line, unfortunately, this functionality has been lost from Leopard, because it's not here. If you want to switch from OS X to Windows via Bootcamp on a Leopard machine, you have to do the same shutdown and restart dance that you always have had. It's possible that Apple found some problems with the concept and decided to dump it as a piece of functionality. Certainly, thinking about it a bit more clearly, I'm well aware that Parallels and VMware can actually access Bootcamp partitions while you're actually in OS X. And I suppose if you did that, why you'd actually have the saved memory file in operation, when you tried to switch back to the Bootcamp Windows partition, you might have problems. So perhaps that's why Apple decided to withdraw the functionality. Here's hoping that it comes back in the future, because the ability to run natively between Windows and OS X, but very rapidly switch between the two, really would be quite a nice feature. That's going to do it for this session. As always, please send questions or comments to davidcohen@mymac.com. Until the next time.
Thanks for downloading the MyMac.com podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast at our RSS feed at MyMac.com or by visiting the iTunes Music Store's podcast section. Please send all feedback to MyMacPodcast@gmail.com. And thanks for listening to the MyMac.com podcast.
Hello, Tim. You forgot about my picks. Hello, Tim. Are you there? Oh, bugger.